In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the ecstasy of July 1901, the Virgin Mary says, "Purgatory is a day without night, without rest for the soul that is purified. The soul there has an admirable patience. The soul knows that the time of purification must be fulfilled. The soul adores the will of God that makes the soul suffer to deserve the eternal reward. Time seems long because of the desire to see Jesus, but the more the soul advances towards heaven, that desire increases and the soul is more purified." Often, the crown of Hail Marys on a rosary can send a soul to heaven. One single communion and the soul can fly to heaven. Sometimes it takes less, just the Our Father or Hail Mary in honor of the Holy Scapular, that is, the brown scapular. This wealth is immense. They are graces so abundant that they cannot be enumerated. What power the celebration of Mass has! Only in heaven will you understand the immense efficacy of this prodigy of power and goodness for our liberation. In the ecstasy of November 14, 1905, the Virgin Mary says, "The souls in purgatory are confirmed in grace. In that place, they recognize and console each other. The souls in purgatory see the ingratitude of those who forget them, although they have left them in tears and have promised not to forget the souls of purgatory." The priest who celebrates Mass for the souls of purgatory needs to think about the soul for which he is celebrating Mass. His thought will bear double fruit when celebrating it with more will and intention. Sometimes Mass is celebrated without a thought for the soul for whom it is offered. During the month of November, which is consecrated to the souls of purgatory, innumerable souls go to heaven. Rejoice! In heaven, the first thing the souls of purgatory do, after thanking Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph, is to ask for graces in order to assist their relatives on earth. The Virgin says, "Dear children, there are a multitude of abandoned souls in purgatory, and there are those who only need a communion or the stations of the cross to go to heaven. They would be your friends if you helped them get into heaven, and they would come to bring you abundant graces from God. The grace of a Mass and communion is a grace that surpasses all other graces." Marie Julie says, "When I prayed the Holy Rosary, I often heard the souls of purgatory answer, 'Holy Mary.'" Jesus was always for Marie Julie the husband of her life, the charm of her eyes, the love of her loves. The Eucharistic Jesus, Jesus crucified, and especially the Christ child appeared to her frequently. In the ecstasy of January 7, 1877, Marie Julie said, "Our Lady the Virgin Mary appeared carrying the child Jesus in her arms. The child Jesus had in his hands a fleur-de-lis, that is, a lily flower, and on his heart a cross. I said to the Virgin Mary, 'Mother, can you give me the child Jesus to have him with me?' She answered, 'Yes.' I asked the Virgin Mary for her mantle, which was purer than mine. And then I said to the child Jesus, 'Come, Jesus, come into my arms.' And the Virgin Mary gave him to me. I carried him on my left side, and the child Jesus was smiling. He said to me, 'My victim, who is your heart for?' 'For you, dear Jesus,' I replied. And Jesus answered me, 'Your heart and mine are united and inseparable.'" Angela, Marie Julie's sister, said on Christmas in the year 1880, "She was on her knees for 2 hours with a lighted candle in her hand. She was in ecstasy and talking loudly. She saw around her groups of virgins and saints with their long hair on their backs. At the same time, a bright and perfumed liquid drop appeared on her forehead. Angela dried it with a cloth. She said that she had the child Jesus in her arms and made gestures as if she were carrying a child in her arms." On Christmas in 1879, Julie also received the child Jesus in her arms and said, "I felt in my soul a great warmth of love, which completely overwhelmed me. I felt that my soul was leaving in the midst of a multitude of angels who were going to the manger. When I was next to the manger of the child Jesus, I felt a heat that overwhelmed me. The child Jesus put a white cloak on my back and said, 'I want to rest in your heart and in your arms.' I thought I was not worthy, but he insisted, 'I want you to take me.' I began to cry with emotion. His little hand dried my tears and I received him in my arms. His little head bent over my heart. While I was holding him like this, he ran his hands over my cheeks and kissed me in the middle of the forehead." In the ecstasy of July 29th, 1881, she tells us, Sometimes the child Jesus comes to see me and says, I come to be with you close to your heart. He is smaller than my guardian angel. He speaks first and I after him. He tells me, tell me your sorrows and those of your friends. He knows that I cannot visit him, and that is why he comes to me. In the ecstasy of January 13, 1921, Marie Julie said, every morning the child Jesus comes to see me and says, I come to be close to your heart. In Marie Julie's conversations, she insisted a lot, keep the bond of faith. She said it over 200 times. By this, she meant that one must always listen to and follow the Pope, who is the vicar of Christ, because he is Jesus himself on earth. Pope Leo XIII died in 1903, and Marie Julie said, Cardinal Adriano is the chosen one of God. He will be a saint and will sanctify others. He will put everything in order. He will not last long, and he will bear the name of Pius. He was Pius X, and she loved him very much, too. On July 25, 1911, she prophesied, Pope Pius X will see the beginning of evils, but not for long. He will be a martyr and a victim. He certainly saw the start of the First World War in 1914. On October 12, 1915, she saw Pope Benedict XV crying over the terrible evils that the war had unleashed. On May 15, 1924, she saw Pope Pius XI and asked the Virgin Mary for him. In 1937, Pope Pius XI sent the Cardinal Pacelli, future Pope Venerable Pius XII, to the La Fraudis in Blaine to see Marie Julie, who spoke with Marie Julie for 3 hours. When the phenomenon of the Northern Lights happened on January 24, 1938, which the Virgin had already announced in Fatima that it would be the sign of a war worse than the first, Marie Julie also announced it. On August 24th, about 7 days before the start of World War II, she told Monsignor of La Francaire that he should take all the documents on Marie Julie's case to a safe place. On August 25th, some spoke of war and prayed that it would not start, but Marie Julie told them, the war has already begun. Later, it was learned that the order to invade Poland had been given by Hitler for that day. Its publication was delayed for 8 days due to the German-Soviet negotiations, but the German commandos, who had not received a counter order, were already fighting on the border with Poland. One day, a journalist notified Marie Julie that Therese Newman had died. She corrected him and told him that the Virgin Mary had told her that she lived. Therese Newman still lived many years after the war. Therese Newman was a German Catholic mystic and stigmatist. On November 23, 1939, Marie Julie said, the war will be long and will end badly. In an ecstasy, she said, I offer Jesus my life for the church, for the Pope, and for sinners. She set out a 3-point program to fulfill: pray, obey, and suffer. Marie Julie said, I have lived with my crucifix and I want to die with my crucifix. Suffering passes, but having suffered remains. I have at all times the heart of my God and the God of my heart. She used to repeat, in the great divine book, there are two important words, love and sufferings, sufferings and love. She also said, I want to suffer and not die. In the middle of the World War, on June 16, 1940, Marie Julie was driven away from Blaine by some friends. Some did not want her to leave because her presence was a guarantee that nothing would happen. The day after her departure, German planes bombed Blaine. After traveling 500 kilometers and being in different places without complaining at 90 years of age, patiently suffering the inconveniences of the trip, she returned home happy. The travelers prayed with her the Magnificat for the protection they had had during the trip without any problem. On February 14, 1941, she received from God the news of her death and sent notice to Mrs. Imbert and Mrs. Treulier to come to see her without delay. That day, after communion, she was particularly happy and made someone write for the second time to Mrs. Imbert to come without delay. She got ill on February 26th, Ash Wednesday. The doctor believed it was just the flu. On March 3rd, it got very bad. At 6 o'clock in the afternoon, Father Morris gave the anointing of the sick to Marie Julie, and she was already in a coma. The next day, March 4th, 1941, at 10:25 a.m., Marie Julie died. Marie Julie was dressed with the tertiary habit of St. Francis and saw that she had her left foot on top of her right foot, like Christ was on the cross. Some newspapers spoke of her death. Her body kept its heat for 75 hours. A large crowd came to her funeral despite the storm and the inconveniences of the war. They placed her in a provisional grave in the cemetery, and on March 17th of that year, 1941, the final burial took place. There are two notebooks full of stories of graces obtained through Julie's intercession after her death. Two examples. A priest declared that he had seen Julie appear a few days after her death as she was on earth. She told him that she had been received in heaven and told him that she was very happy. A sick householder was given the anointing of the sick. His wife placed a small silk relic of Julie's clothes on him, and the sick man was cured. Life is very short, and we have to make the most of it. We must live with the mind awake, with the soul in grace directed towards heaven, which is our definitive homeland to which we must aspire. Let us live for God. Let us live as close to God as possible, avoiding even the smallest venial sins at all costs. And let us rejoice to know that our Catholic faith is the best way to reach God and that it offers us the best means of sanctification. Let us love God with all our hearts. Let us love the Virgin Mary as a dear mother, and let us not forget that we have a guardian angel who is always by our side to help us and protect us from all evil. May God bless you through our sweet mother, the Virgin Mary. May you be a saint. This is my best wish for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.